Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of One Scry Away. You're here, as always, with Matt and Pat, and today we're following up our reviews of the Commander 2018 decks, and today we're going to be talking about the new Bant Enchantress deck, Adaptive Enchantment.
Yeah, so this is, I think this was a much anticipated deck. We talked about the Artifact deck already, the Exquisite Inventions, and that one was, I believe, quite anticipated, and this is another one that I think is pretty anticipated as well, too. So, Bant Enchantments. We've had sort of, there are a few commanders that, you know, that deal with enchantments, but this is the first time where we're sort of seeing them all in one place. The three sort of main enchantment colors, I guess, green, white, and blue, all together in one place, and I think they did a pretty good job. They added some interesting things into the deck. But of course, most importantly, we got some new commanders. And like the previous set, all of the decks in this Commander edition, they have a Planeswalker at the head of the deck.
Yeah, exactly. And this one's pretty cool. So, and they're all new. They're all from new to the lore, I guess. This one's Estrid the Masked. So she's a generic, a green, a blue, and a white for a legendary Planeswalker Estrid. She comes in with three loyalty. She has three abilities. Her plus two ability: untap each enchanted permit you control. So that could be, for example, Enchanted Lands, which was the first thing I thought of when I saw this. So this deck does run some land enchantments that tap for mana, that tap for an additional green, these sort of things. A lot of them are reprints, but I think enchantments that don't get played enough, I think they're pretty cool ramp, so that she can potentially ramp you a bit, which is pretty neat. Her minus one ability is create a white aura enchantment token named Mask attached to another target permanent. The token has enchant permanent and totem armor. So basically you can make a totem armor is an ability that says if the enchanted permanent would be destroyed, then destroy this enchantment instead. So it's a way to kind of protect some of your important creatures or your important permanents. So it takes the bullet rather than the permanent itself. Her minus seven. And they smartly, all the two planeswalkers with green in them, they did not make them doubling season friendly, so to speak. So she doesn't double right away. So that's why it's seven. Put the top seven cards of your library into your graveyard. Return all non-aura enchantment cards from your graveyard to the battlefield. Then do the same for aura cards. So this could be an interesting, if you have a pretty full graveyard full of enchantments, you could put them back into play for no mana, basically, and that could be a bit of a swing for sure.
Yeah, so it could be pretty strong. I feel like this ability isn't really on theme, because it has that sort of graveyard theme. Maybe it is kind of, but I don't know. I don't think this last ability is particularly powerful, but as we've said before, we're mostly judging planeswalkers by their first two abilities, because those are the abilities that you want to be able to abuse. So the plus two untapping each enchanted permanent you control is huge. All your creatures with auras, your lands with auras, and then the minus one, create a mask, an aura enchantment named Mask, attached to something, and it's giving it totem armor. Well, then that works in direct synergy with the plus two. So you being able to go minus one, put a mask on, let's say Chain Veil. Put a mask on Chain Veil and then plus two to untap it. That actually does, as long as you have the mana, you can do that as many times as you want. And then, of course, if you put masks on a couple lands here and there, or you have a land that has, you know, add an additional two mana, some of those sort of auras, you can really get out of hand here with those first two abilities, because they work really, really well together. There's a lot of stuff you can do.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's yeah, those two are pretty strong. The third one, the ultimate is gonna be you have to have some setup and you have to have some the right enchantments in your graveyard to make it really work. So, but I think the two abilities are strong enough to make this viable. But overall, kind of a cool enchant, like cool aura specific card. So that's pretty neat. The other one of the other new legendary creatures they put in is a one of the bestow creatures. So it's Castilla, the Cultivator. She's also one white, one blue, one green, and a generic for legendary enchantment creature nymph. She's a 4/4. She has bestow, so for three green, white, blue, you can attach it as an aura spell to another creature that you control. And the enchanted creature gets +4/+4 because she's a 4/4. And whenever an enchantment creature whenever an enchanted creature or enchantment creature, pardon me, you attack, you control attacks, draw a card. So this can be quite strong. If you're playing with creatures with auras, then they can all draw you a card. If you play with the Theros kind of enchantment creature subtypes, then you can draw cards off of them as well. Which wanted to bring me to one point, actually. I was kind of bummed about the lack of gods in this deck. They didn't put any of the Theros gods, which I thought would have been pretty nice. I thought at least if they had put the mono white one, the Helioid, because he makes enchantment creatures, that would have been quite strong in this deck, but it
Oh
is what it
yeah,
is, I guess.
Heliod would be really really good in this deck. I think if you're building an enchantment a Bant enchantment deck, I mean, I think he's got to go in because he's an enchantment himself and he makes enchantment creatures. Castilla, in fact, when I had only just seen the artwork and I hadn't seen the card, I thought she might be a god.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I thought she was it was like a new art for the blue white god. I can't remember her name, the one the
Ifara, god of the polis, I think
Yeah,
that's what
that's
it's
right.
called. I thought, or something along those lines, right? Like I thought, or maybe it was a new god. I don't know, like maybe it was, I don't know, some underling god. Who knows? This one's still pretty cool. I like the fact that her CMC and her bestow cost aren't widely different. So there's only a difference of 2 mana. Now you do have to pay commander tax when you bestow. So this doesn't get a bestow doesn't get around that, but the fact that it's only 2 mana more makes it more appealing. A lot of the time, these bestow creatures, it's like 2 CMC and then bestow is like 8.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I
It's
mean?
the
It's like
worst.
it
It's
just
so brutal.
doesn't really seem like you ever want to be putting it as an aura. Maybe in some cases where it's a little, the bestow cost can't be ridiculously high. The downside that I kind of see, and I think this is a really good card. The downside that I see is that whenever an enchanted creature or enchantment creature you control attacks, draw a card. Okay, that's obviously good, but if you have creatures that are enchanted, a lot of the time I feel like the deck strategy that you're building could be a Voltron strategy. So you might only be attacking with one creature.
Right.
Do you see what I'm trying to say? Like that kind of, if you're putting auras, are you putting all your auras on one creature? Are you spreading them out? Or are you making a lot of creatures if your deck is enchantment and aura heavy? I maybe not. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I see. I agree with that. Usually, auras kind of stack onto one big creature, and it like is unblockable. You'll put like Steel the Godhead on it, which is unblockable, and Lifelink and these sorts of cards. You'll stack them on one huge creature, so this will only draw you one card in theory, right?
You obviously
Now,
don't have to do that. You could go a different route and build, like we said with Heliod, if you're able to, and you have some other support cards, you might be able to build out a pretty big army, and then those can swing, and those are aura creatures. So maybe tokens, aura tokens, enchantment
maybe,
creature tokens. Maybe, I don't
yeah.
know.
But like the deck has some enchantment creatures in it. Like it has Eldion of the Blossoms, which draws your cards. It's one of the constellation cards. It has Archetype of Imagination, which is a really fun card, which gives all your creatures flying and everyone else loses flying. He's an enchantment himself, so that's something that can go in there when he attacks. So there is a couple, but overall,
The
I don't think you're gonna.
Boon Satyr,
Oh, man.
the
I own
good
so
old
many
Boon
copies of that card.
Satyr,
He never makes the cut because all he does is flash 4/2. But
yeah. No, and that, but, and that's the thing. Like, there are some you do need those enchantment creatures, a bunch of them, to make that really good. Eidolon of the Blossoms is of course a very good one, enchantment creature. Whenever Eidolon of Blossoms or another enchantment enters the battlefield under your control, draw a card. Great. Too generic and too green for a legend, for an enchantment creature. Spirit 2-2. Good
reprint for sure.
Yeah, very good. That's definitely a good one. That should be going in all enchantress type decks. But anyway, so that's so Kestia is good. Pretty strong. It depends on sort of how you wanna take that deck, what direction you wanna take that deck, and how are you gonna maximize? Because like enchanted creature gets +4/+4. Woo whoop de doo. Whatever. How are you going to maximize that whenever an enchanted creature or enchantment creature attacks, draw a card? How are you going to maximize that?
Yeah. That's so like question. I said, the first thing I thought of when I saw that ability was Helioid with pumping out his cleric enchantment tokens. Like that was the first thing I thought of because you can go wide and draw a lot of cards that way.
Yeah. But what else does that? And that's what I'm...
Yeah. There's not much else that makes enchantment tokens. So, yeah. So you have to be, she might be a good secondary in behind Estrid, because Estrid gives mass tokens, right?
You really have to get a little bit creative, a bit more creative with that one. Sure. But that being said, that brings us into the third commander of the deck. This is the one that I am most excited about. Is Tuvasa the Sunlit. And this is a legendary creature, Merfolk Shaman, for a green, a white, and a blue. So a 3 CMC, so on the low end. It is a 1-1. Tuvasa the Sunlit gets +1/+1 for each enchantment you control. Awesome. So it can be in a dedicated enchantress deck. It can be beefy. And then it has, more importantly, whenever you cast your first enchantment spell each turn, draw a card.
Yeah, so this that's is, so good.
Yeah, so this is the Enchantress. This is the 3-color Enchantress. Obviously, you're only getting one card per turn, but it could be during your opponent's turn. So you're able to... What I immediately thought was like a lot of solid auras, you know, Steel of the Godhead, etc. These types of things, Diplomatic Immunity... Cheap costing auras, and then having, say, Flash. Having
Leyline of Anticipation in this deck would be very strong.
Oh yeah. So you're gonna be able to draw cards on your opponent's turn as well, and so things like this. So this is the one that I'm most excited about. I like the low mana cost. I like the fact that you're gonna be able to draw cards on the regular. And the fact that this, and I think this might be a Voltron type of deck. Because she gets so big. So you're just aura, and now she gets bigger. Like, put a Rancor on her, and she gets +3/+1, right? And you've drawn a card for one mana. Like, she is really, really strong. But it kind of puts you in that Voltron direction, which has its downsides as well, too.
Yeah, for sure. But I think, it's a really... I think she's probably, if you're trying to build her non-aura based, she's the best of the three for sure. Because she doesn't care what type. The other two are more about auras, whereas she's not so much into the auras. She can be any enchantment whatsoever. So I think it's pretty relevant. So very cool card. I think giving stuff flash is really key because you want to be able to abuse that as much as you can. But there are some cool cards, some new enchantments that they put into this set, into this deck, sorry, that I think definitely are worth mention. So you have the new enchantment Myth Unbound, which is 2 generic and a green. Your commander costs 1 less for each time it's been cast from the command zone. So you basically reduce your command tax to 1 instead of 2, which is really nice. And then whenever your commander is put into the command zone from anywhere, draw a card. So you generally don't want it to be put into the command zone, but if you do, you might as well get some value out of it.
Yeah, Myth Unbound, of course, and this is really good, and you can slide this, a lot of these cards are interchangeable, and this will be a good card in other decks as well, too. Not even necessarily dedicated enchantment decks, but the fact that it happens to be an enchantment in this deck makes it really, really good, being able to draw whenever your commander is put into the command zone from anywhere, just like drawing an extra card, just a little extra bonus. And for three mana, not too shabby. Another one that I liked a lot, also three mana, was Estrid's Invocation. So it's two generic and one blue for an enchantment. You may have Estrid's Invocation enter the battlefield as a copy of any enchantment you control, except it gains at the beginning of your upkeep. You may exile this enchantment if you do return it to the battlefield under its owner's control. Like, this is awesome. Being able to, you know, blink it out every turn. It's a clone for your enchantments, and being able to switch it up when you need to. Maybe you want to switch it up into another propaganda. You know, someone's about to come bearing down on you with a ton of creatures, and you have one propaganda. Well, maybe they can pay enough to get through one. But now, if you use Estrid's Invocation, now you have two. Or maybe you would like a second doubling season. Or maybe you would like a second Myth Unbound that we just talked about. Now your commander costs two less to cast from the command zone. So it's a very, very good card. Very versatile. Again, you can switch it. You can turn it into auras that are on creatures. So yeah, if you exactly. have some big aura on a creature, you can switch it in and out. There's a lot of these kinds of, you know, there are a lot of implications, and it's very, very flexible. So I think this is a really good card.
Yeah, I think so as well. Now, there's also one cool card that I'm really excited about that the guys on Commander Versus got to spoil, which was the new one of the kind of the secondary legendary. It's not a Bant legendary card, but it is a legendary. And that is a Rixmas, I guess is pronounced. Rixmas. I'm not great with the Greek words. Slumbering Isle. So it's definitely from the Theros block with the Greek kind of name. It's a blue of green and two generic for a legendary creature Kraken. It's a 12/12, which is like four mana for a 12/12. Sign me up. But it enters the battlefield tapped with five slumber counters on it. As long as it has a slumber counter on it, it's a land. So it comes in as a land. Whenever you cast a spell, you may remove a slumber counter from it, and then it taps for a green and a blue. So when you take off five counters, all of a sudden it becomes this huge 12/12 creature that can also potentially, if you really wanted to, tap for a green and a blue while it's when it stops becoming a land. Really, really cool card. I think people are going to play this a lot. I think this is going to see some play for sure, because I think it's just kind of the flavor is really nice, but it's still, you know, it's four mana for a 12/12, which is awesome.
It's I'm happy with this, you know, being the 12/12 is really, really, really good, and I'm glad it has that. I'm still pretty satisfied if this is, okay, you pay four mana for it, it's a land, you may remove a slumber counter from it, so you don't have to, and yeah, it adds exactly. you two mana. So there's a lot of stuff that says destroy all non-land permanents. This, if it's got slumber counters, it's still a land. So I think what you do is you remove all of them except one.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you remove that last one when the time is just right.
Exactly.
So get it down to one, and then, because I'm happy if this is just a land that's tapping me for two mana. It's like a mana rock that can't be hit by destroy target non-land permanent sort of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
By, you know, cyclonic mass board. You know. Exactly. So this is actually, this is a really good card, and I think this will see play. It's a great sort of mishmash of mana, a mana rock / land / creature. And it cut, like, for four mana, this is a really, really good card.
Yeah, for I know it's at the very worst, it's four mana for to ramp you two. I mean, it's kind of like a explosive vegetation almost, kind of, right?
Kind of. It does come in tapped, in a way. So yeah, exactly. Whatever.
Like explosive vegetation would, you know, so not too far off in that regard, but still, I mean, it checks a lot of boxes. If you want a big creature eventually, you have a big creature eventually, right? And it can be your commander, so in theory, you could put this in the command zone and build a deck around him.
Yeah, I think that's that certainly appeals to me a lot as well, too. He's just, like, what you do is, like I said, you get him out early, and he's just, it's like, eventually you'll have this 12/12, but he'll already be in play. You won't have to cast this 12/12 from your command zone, and he's given you a lot of mana in the interim, So he's hard to kill. So he's really, really good. I like this guy. I'm thinking maybe I build a deck around him at some point too. Like he's
I know, super it's, cool. It's so tempting, isn't it?
Yeah. So there are some other cool cards that you know that have come up in this set. The last one that I kind of wanted to highlight was the Ever-Watching Threshold. Again, this is enchantment deck. It is 2 generic and 1 blue. Whenever an opponent attacks you or a planeswalker you control with one or more creatures, draw a card. Again, it's only going to draw you one card, even if they swing in on you with an army. But for 3 mana and being able to draw a card when you get attacked, I think that's pretty useful.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, I think that's a really cool one. You know, it's if you can't get a propaganda effect out there, which they did not reprint. I thought they would for sure put propaganda in here, or at least Ghostly Prison, one of the two, but they didn't put either, which was an interesting choice, I thought. At least you could draw cards out of people attacking you, right? I think that
it's solid. It's solid. It's not. Yeah. It's not the greatest thing, like only drawing one card, but it's definitely pretty good. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to use it. I'll consider it, but with the 20 rare limit, I mean, it would be nice if it said whenever a creature attacks you.
Yeah.
This is that one or more type of deal, which is a little bit of a downside, but
maybe they wanted to abuse. They didn't want, if it was May, then maybe if it was May, then they could have done it that way.
Yeah.
Because if they swing out with a token army of like 10 tokens at you and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm drawing my whole deck and you like, it becomes a bit of a problem, right? So that, I don't know. It's one or the other, right? Maybe putting May as a condition would have made it too powerful on the other side.
Yeah. Do you feel like they missed anything that they should have included? Like you mentioned propaganda and Ghostly Prison, and I thought the same thing. I thought they were going to include at least one of them.
Yeah, exactly. Or the other one that makes a lot of sense, Fear of Safety, which is the 5 mana white one, which says number of enchantments you control. So that would have been almost an auto include in my mind.
Yeah, I feel like they missed some of the stuff, or like Enchanted Evening,
mm-hmm.
where you get all your stuff is now all your stuff becomes enchantments. I mean, maybe that might have been too powerful for like a precon.
Yeah, it would be putting like Mycotin's Lattice into the artifact deck.
Right? Yeah, it might have been a bit powerful, but I still feel like the commanders I feel were really, really good. Definitely the Planeswalker, I thought that's really, really cool. And the Tesuva, the Merfolk, I thought they were really, really good. And the Kestia is actually, I think she's really good as well too.
She's interesting for sure.
Interesting as well too, but I feel like they missed on some of the enchantments that they could have had in this deck.
Yeah, for sure. They didn't put any of the gods in. I think like how many gods are eligible in this deck? You have the 3 monocolored ones that could have fit. I think that Helioid would have made the most sense. Maybe Thassa, the blue one, would have been nice in here as well. The Scry one, and you can make something unblockable. That would be pretty good. And she's the only 3 for. She only costs 3, which is awesome. So one of those 2 gods would have been nice. Karametra, which searches out forests and plains, probably not. But like you said, the blue-white one would have been nice. Drawing cards for creatures entering play under your control. That's a pretty solid one that did not get reprinted. And I felt like that would have been in here. That would have been nice. So they definitely missed, I think, on the Theros gods. They should have put at least 1, I think.
Yeah, and you know, and I'm looking at it and I'm like, why is there not an Oblivion Ring in this deck?
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean? Like you'd think, or like an Oblivion Ring, or you know, its ilk, something along those lines, you know, one of those Detention Sphere or whatever, or Prison Term. I don't know why that's not in the deck. It's 1 generic and 2 white for an aura. You put it on a creature and that creature can't attack or block, or its activated abilities can't be used. Mm-hmm. And you can move it around to different creatures as they come into play as you choose,
mm-hmm.
when you want to. Like, that could have been in the deck.
I think Flickering Ward would have been nice in here, because that hasn't gone to reprint. That's a bit of an older, it's starting to get older now, which is like 1 white, enchant enchantment aura, enchanted creature. That creature has protection from chosen color when it enters the battlefield, and then pay one white to bounce it back into your hand. So you could abuse that by drawing lots of cards with enchantment, enchantress triggers, or that sort of thing, or more constellation triggers. You know, they only have a couple constellation creatures in the deck. The new one is kind of neat. It's the Naya's Titan, or sorry, Colossus. It's a constellation. It's a 6/6 for 7 mana. When it enters or another enchantment enters the battlefield, double target creature's power and toughness until end turn. That's pretty neat, but even Naya would have been nice in here, giving yourself trample, you know? So, I'd give it like a 65 hit, and then they missed on a few things for sure.
I mean, as I'm looking at it, like spawning grounds, 8 mana, yeah. enchant a land to tap it and put a... It's like, come on.
I dislike that card quite a bit.
You dislike that card.
Oh, I dislike that card quite a bit.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
No.
It didn't need to be in this deck.
No. And there's a lot of that. There's a lot of stuff like that. Now, there are some good ones. Like, I like seeing Snake Umbra in the deck. Mm-hmm. 2 generic and 1 green. Enchanted creature gets +1/+1. Whenever this creature deals damage to an opponent, you might draw a card. I think that's great. It has Totem Armor as well, too. I'm a Bear big Umbra fan of that card. Bear Umbra is good. 2 generic and 2 green. An aura. Enchanted creature gets +2/+2 and has whenever this creature attacks, untap all lands you control. Again, Totem Armor. I like Wild Growth. Whenever enchanted land is tapped for mana, its controller adds 1 to his or her mana pool. There was the other one that they had, the other Wild Growth effect in the deck.
Fertile Ground.
Yes, that's right.
When it taps, you add a color, so it ramps you. So that's pretty good.
Dawn's Reflection, 3 generic and a green. Whenever enchanted land is tapped for mana, its controller adds 2 mana of any color. So that's your aura that you cast for whatever benefit. Again, with Estrid, untap all your enchanted permanents. So this is tapping you for 3 mana. When it's tapped for mana, you add an additional 2. So this, and then you untap 6 mana. So that's really, really good. Overgrowth, of course, is great. You know, these are really, really good. Like, I think if you're building an Enchantress deck, I think you want to be including those anyways. So yeah, those were definitely big hits. I think Unflinching Courage is pretty good. Enchanted creature +2/+2 trample and lifelink for 3 mana. And they could have done an Armadillo Cloak as well too, but you know, they put 1, so. So there are a lot of hits, like you said. I still give it about 60-65% hit. Maybe 60% hit. But a lot of it was miss.
Yeah, I agree. There are some things that one of the gods, that's all I was looking for, was one of the gods, and they could have easily taken out Fertile Ground and put a god in. Spawning Grounds.
Spawning Grounds, exactly. Yeah. Heliod would have been perfect. It would have made so much sense in this deck. And it's not like he's an expensive card that they would be reprinting.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't cost much at all.
He's like a couple bucks. You know, yeah, exactly. Throw him in there. Put an Oblivion Ring in there. Why is that not in there?
I don't know.
It makes no sense. It's like... You know, they had Soul Snare for 1 mana enchantment. Pay 1 mana, sacrifice Soul Snare, exile target creature that's attacking you or a planeswalker you control. Why would you just not? Why would you put this and not Oblivion Ring?
Hmm.
Well, because it costs 1 less mana to cast.
Oh, because they want to put. Then you're putting enchantments into your graveyard, right? I guess that's.
Oh, come on.
Thinking about it.
Oblivion Ring should be in there.
Yeah.
Or something like Oblivion Ring.
Overall, though, I think the deck is interesting. I'm going to definitely pick some of these cards out. I don't know if I can... Again, we had the same argument on the last episode. There's a lot of cards that I own, like 2 to 5 or 10 copies of, that I just don't need more copies of.
Yeah.
Another Meandering River. Oh, boy. But...
Reclamation Sage is there. It's a great card, but I have, you know, 4 or 5 of them. So, like, I don't... Sorry, can't really... Yeah. Can't really do anything.
There are definitely cards in this deck that are very worth getting excited about. All the legendaries, again, are really cool. The Planeswalker is really cool. The new cards, apart from Myth Unbound and the Invocation, like you talked about, they're not as exciting. But overall, yeah, it's definitely some cards to pick out of here, some cool reprints, but not all the reprints we were looking for, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't know. There some good stuff, but I think where the artifact deck had a couple other good cards outside of just the commanders and legendaries, this one I feel like most of the value is in the legendaries and the commanders with like two or three others that might actually be worthwhile.
I agree with that for sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, but it does check some boxes for Enchantress, and if you have other Enchantress support, I think this the one thing I could say about this deck, a very big positive to kind of end up with a positive note, is that with a few modifications, it's very powerful, right? You take some cards out, you put some cards in, you have a very, very strong deck.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And the commanders are, and I think a lot of that is because the commanders are so good. Like you could pick any one of those commanders, and I think you could build a pretty powerful deck. Maybe not the
The
aura
stone
one.
creature.
Yeah, maybe
Yeah.
not. But it, that's not. I still think you could, but I think the other two are just like
Yeah.
probably way better
I
than the
agree.
bestow one. But the
So.
bestow one probably goes into that deck.
Yeah, I agree with that
You
for
know what I
sure.
mean? Like the bestow
More
one goes
card
in.
draw. More card draw.
In fact, if you're building an Enchantress deck, I think all three of the commanders, like one of them is your commander, I think the other two go into the deck. You know
Yeah,
what I mean?
usually they're all kind of trying to do the same thing, right? Which is kind of the funny thing that a lot of times the precons, like the three legendaries, are all like trying to do different things, kind of related in some way, but they're all very different in a certain way. And I think this one's a bit of an exception. Like these three are all kind of working a lot more synergy than the other than any other kind of precon commands
Exactly,
out
and we
there.
looked at the artifact deck, and they weren't really, they all were good, but the commanders were all kind of doing a different sort of thing. They did have some synergies, of course, but they were all sort of going in a different direction. But with this one, they're all kind of they'll work in tandem. They'll work really well with each other, too. So.
Exactly. So I think just a few modifications, like probably swap out 10 cards and put 10 different cards in, and you got a pretty viable deck.
I agree. Yeah, it's not going to take much to make this a very powerful deck. Again, that's because the commanders are quite good and they work really well together. But this is other than that, I think that's yeah,
Yeah.
those are our thoughts on this deck. It's a cool deck. Again, now here's the question: would I buy it? No.
Yeah. No. Well,
I would
but
not buy this.
I would not buy. I would definitely buy this for someone getting into it, because I think a lot of the cool synergies, like if I was giving this as a gift to somebody that was starting out, it's great. There's some cool tech. There's some cool tech in here, and there's other lots of legendaries that they can build off of. So.
Agreed. I would buy this as a gift for someone who is getting into the game and let them go for it. For myself, I'm happy buying a couple of the singles. There are 16 new cards in this. Again, there's maybe five or six that I'd be interested in.
Exactly same for me. And there's some reprints that I don't own that I would like to have, like the Bear Umbra. I don't own a copy of Bear Umbra, and I'd love to have a copy of that. So yeah, like you said, a few cards here and there, but I think this is definitely something for someone getting into it. And I think it checks a lot of boxes for that for sure. So I would definitely recommend it for people that are getting into the format. This is a great. If you like the colors, cool colors. I mean, Bant's one probably one of my favorite color combinations out there. So definitely big fan of it in that
This could
regard.
be the deck. But I think we'll
Yeah.
leave it at that, guys. So we'd like to hear your thoughts, of course. What do you think about this deck? Again, we mentioned some of the things we liked, some of the things we weren't too thrilled about. What are all of your thoughts? Should they have gone a little bit more heavy on auras? Were they missing some things? Let us know. You can hit us up at onescryaway@gmail.com or on Twitter at onescryaway. We'd love to hear from you.
All right, and that's it for us today, guys. So as always, I'm Matt,
I'm Pat.
and we'll see you next time.